Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for another privilege to be in your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge you've brought before us this morning to look at the sins of the tongue. Lord, I pray that you will bless us. I pray, Lord, that after you have challenged us, that if we need to repent, we will repent and forsake of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome again to the series on respectable sins. We've started this series for some time. We took a break to look at four sermons on Easter. And after today, there will be two more topics on this series, and this series will be over. But just to remind you of what we are looking at on respectable sins. Oftentimes, when sin is mentioned in church, Christians always look at what we call major sins. But the sins we are looking at in this series are sins that is common in the church, sins that Christians do commit, and sometimes we have considered them not that serious or not big enough to make God angry, hence they have become acceptable, or as Jerry Bridges put it in his book, respectable sins. If you want to turn your Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 4, and Clive read to us verse 17 to 32. I will not read the whole verse again, or the all of the verses from 17 to 32, but I will read verse 29. And it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." This morning we are going to look at sins of the tongue under three topics: the tongue, examples of sins of the tongue, and lastly, dealing with the sins of the tongue. The tongue is a part of our body. I want to believe everyone here this morning has a tongue. We use our tongue when we talk to people. Without our tongue, we might not be able to make any speech. Sometimes we sing with our tongue, we bless with our tongue, and in fact the Bible says we curse with our tongue. But then to give us more insight into the tongue, as somebody said, the tongue was mentioned in the Bible so many times, more than 70 times. If we turn our Bibles to James chapter 3, and if we read from verse 5 to 6. If you are using the church Bibles, it's on page 1217. James chapter 3, verse 5 to 6, and this is what it says. "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a word of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." The Bible says, our tongues are restless. The tongue is uncontrollable by human strength. How many times have people said, "I will not talk," but then they just can't help themselves but say something? The Bible calls it a fire that sets the whole body ablaze. And in fact, the Bible goes on to say that if you are able to control your tongue, that is, if you are never at fault in what you say, then you are perfect and you can control your whole body. So this is a very serious thing. If you are able to control your tongue, that is, in whatever you say, you don't have fault, then you are a perfect human being. Sometimes the Bible uses the tongue interchangeably with language or mouth. So this morning when we are talking about the tongue, don't just focus on your tongue. The Bible often uses it as language. Jesus says that these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. And what he's saying is they will speak in new languages. So just to give us an illustration, just to wrap up on what the tongue is about, let me just say what comes out from your mouth is an indication of the state of your mind. Whatever is coming out of your mouth, whatever your tongue is saying, is an indication of the state of your mind. But then to look specifically at our topic, sins of the tongue. Sin is breaking God's commandment or rebelling against God. And there are many ways we can break God's commandment. If somebody smashes the head of another person and kills them with their hand, they've committed murder, they've broken God's commandment. But in fact, most of the sins we commit with our tongue, with our mouth. And so this morning, we are going to look at 10 examples of sins of the tongue. And the first one is profanity or obscene speech or foul languages. In our society today, for those of you who read newspapers or who listen to or watch television or watch the news, oftentimes journalists are struggling to write people's quotes down in the newspaper. They'll put star, star, star because it's profanity-laced speech that somebody has said. Or sometimes you watch interviews on TV and then whoever is editing the video would have to make some parts silent because the other person is using foul languages. We cannot escape hearing people talk about things or using profane languages. Using profane language or speaking foul language, as Ephesians 4:29 says, is a sin. And I go back to that passage, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. One other translation says, let no dirty talk come out of your mouth. So the first example of the sin of the tongue is profanity or foul languages, swearing, curse words. So if you are here this morning and you curse or you swear or you use obscene language or foul languages, it is a sin against God. Our society may say it is fine, but God says it is not fine. And for some Christians, they are very good at acting. I.e., when they leave their homes, they never speak any bad language. But once they shut their door and they are inside, off they go. It is not what you say in church. It is what you say when you are in church and out of church and in your home and in your closet. Profanity or obscene speech is an example of the sin of the tongue. The second one we will look at this morning is gossip. It's almost acceptable in our culture to gossip. And unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we gossip. What is gossip? Gossip is spreading unfavorable information about another person. Spreading unfavorable information about another person. Even if it is true, it is still gossip. A lot of Christians will say, I don't gossip. But then they go to the next person and say, I just want to share this with you so that you can pray. And then they start, off they go. They've Christianized gossip. Gossip is a sin of the tongue. When you go about spreading unfavorable information about another person, the Bible calls that sin. And I'd like to read Romans chapter 1, verse 29 to 30, because sometimes when we mention sins of the tongue, as Christians, we think It doesn't make God angry anyway, so it's not a big deal. So many Christians have read these passages, or this passage of Romans chapter 1, in the last 5 years, because there is a lot of change in our society, especially how the society or the law defines marriage. And people often rush to Romans chapter 1 and say, this is what the Bible says. But let me read verse 29 and 30 of that same Romans chapter 1. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Some people rush to Romans chapter 1 to say, oh, this thing is sinful, because they pick just one of the sins. But gossip is as sinful as whichever one you are picking. Gossip is in that list of Romans chapter 1. Spreading unfavorable information about another person. If we go back to our passage in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll go back to verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Gossip doesn't build anybody up. It tears people down. Whether you try to Christianize it by saying, just telling you that you can pray for him, or I'm just telling you that you can pray for her. Gossip, spreading unfavorable information about another person, tears them down. And it's a sin. The other one, the third one we are looking at this morning is lying. As a matter of fact, in the church, there are lies that have been classified into white lies and all sorts of lies. We seem to have come up with all sorts of definition. But when we make false statements, usually to make ourselves look good or to mislead other people, it is a sin. It's also contained in Romans chapter 1. Slander. Slander is another one which is a sin of the tongue. Making a false statement or misrepresentation about another person to damage their reputation. If we go back to Ephesians 4, which is our main passage, and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Democracy is beautiful because it gives us the choice to elect our leaders. But there's something really very bad about democracy. One of the parties, by default, must take a position to slander the other party. And so if you follow elections in the UK or in America, once anybody declares that they want to contest, the newspapers are full with things they did when they were a child, when they were growing up, when they were in secondary school, 7 years ago, before they married, when they married. You see all this, that's the news for the next, until the election is over, you keep reading it. It's slander. Some of those information are not true, but the aim is to damage the other person's reputation. It might sound, oh, I don't do that. That's a very terrible thing. But when you make categorical claim about another believer's motives, that is slander, blowing things out of proportion, to make that brother or sister more sinful than they really are. Oh, this person committed a sin. Oh, yeah, they commit all sorts of sins, things that you don't know. You are now interpreting the way they greeted you yesterday because, oh, there must have been some element of sin there. It is slander. Destroying another person's reputation. And in church, people slander to gain advantage over others, unfortunately. You don't have to do it like politicians. But when you make a false statement or misrepresentation about another person to damage their reputation, it is slander. And the Bible says it is a sin. It is not acceptable to God. And so it cannot be acceptable to you if you are a Christian. Sarcasm, that's the next one. Sarcasm is the use of irony to mock or convey contempt. You are mocking people in a very interesting way, jokingly. This is a sin of the tongue. And when we are being sarcastic about people, sometimes we enjoy it. But there are so many people that have committed suicide just because somebody was being sarcastic. Just triggers what was already built in them. The Bible says again, I go back to Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. Sarcasm doesn't build people up. It is one of the sins of the tongue. The next one we'll look at this morning is critical speech. A negative comment that someone about someone that may be true, but doesn't need to be said. So it may be true, but it's negative. So when you want to make a speech about someone or make comment about people, ask yourself whether that comment is kind. Is it a kind comment? And is it needful? Do you really need to say it? Do you really need to say it? Many marriages will be saved if the husband or the wife don't make critical speech. Critical speech has led to many homes being broken up. It's negative comment about someone, although it may be true, but doesn't need to be said because it doesn't build up at all. It tears people down. The next one is harsh and unpleasant words, unkind words. And some of these things, we see them in the church, unfortunately. And the reason they keep growing in the church is because we think they are acceptable. Because everyone is saying it. Because it's the norm. But to God, it is not the norm. And it is not a small sin to what you might consider major sin. Sin before God is sin. The next one is spreading rumors, unverified information, and then you saying it as if it is the truth. And people will say, I was there, I know. But you are not there, you don't know. You can't even verify the information. Spreading rumor is a sin of the tongue. And insults, that's another one. Making disrespectful, scornful or abusive remarks about another person. If a child insults their parents are very angry. You shouldn't say that. But oftentimes we insult people just because they are not our children or because they are not our child. Or parents insulting kids, kids insulting parents, spouses insulting one another. Insults, although might be common, might be acceptable in our culture or society or something we see every time. It's a sin of the tongue. The next one or the last one on this list is ridicule or mockery. Teasing and contemptuous language directed at another person. Some of these sins that we are listing as examples of sins of the tongue are things that we are very familiar with. Are things that as society, we have accepted to be the norm. That's what happens. But as Christians, these don't build up anyone in the church. It tears people down. And again, I go back to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The challenge for us this morning is that our tongue or our speech should be one that is building up and not tearing people down. Whether in the church, or in your homes, or in your office, or in the community, or outside the society, or outside the community, our speech as Christians must be one that builds people up. In Mark 16:17, Jesus says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues." Before you came to know Jesus, this list and many other ones that are not on this list might be the norm, might be acceptable. But when you come to know Christ, one of the things the Holy Spirit will do for you is give you a new tongue. You speak new languages. You don't tear people down, rather you build people up. And that is very, very important. So if you are here this morning and you can relate to any of these 10 or any other sin that we use our tongue to commit, and you are a Christian, you must understand that this is a sin to God, like any other sin. This is not a small sin to God. It is a sin to God. Hence, we are going to go to the last part of this talk, which is dealing with the sins of the tongue. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So actually, what is the sin of the tongue is actually the sin of the heart. It is coming from your heart, and your tongue is just helping you to bring out the tip of the iceberg. From the abundance of what is stored in your heart, the mouth speaks. It could be that you are very angry in your heart, hence you have to use harsh words on people, but it's a reflection of the state of your heart. If your speech, if your tongue is full of sin, such as the examples we have looked at this morning, then it's just showing the state of your heart. If you are a Christian, this is how to deal with it. And simply put, guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And what does it mean to guard your heart? And what does it even mean to guard at all, when you want to guard? To guard is to be alert. To guard is to sort of protect. So if I'm guarding this thing and you are coming towards it, I'm going to block you. Why? Because I'm guarding it. I'm aware that you are coming to this pulpit, and I don't want you to reach it, so I guard it. I guard you. For us to guard our hearts as Christians, we must first know that the heart is precious. It is from our heart everything comes from. It is not useful for you to be here this morning and after listening to this sermon, you go back home and you put on the music full of profanity and swear words and swearing, and then you fill your heart again with all sorts of things and then you wonder why you are swearing at your children or swearing in the office. It's because of what you have been putting in your heart. Guard your heart. You can't listen to all types of music. Some musics will make you to be prone to committing sin with your tongue. Some books, some movies, whatever they are, guard your heart. As Christians, because you already know Jesus, you have a responsibility to guard your heart. David said in Psalm 19, verse 14, he said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord." What do you think about? What do you spend your time thinking about, meditating about? As Christians, dealing with the sin of the tongue is guarding our heart. Whatever you put into your heart is what will come out of your mouth. You might say something that you consider very offensive to someone. If that person has no idea of what you are saying, they will not be offended because it doesn't make any sense to them. Because their heart, they haven't stored that kind of thing in their heart. They can't interpret what you are saying. If I start speaking Yoruba language to you now, even if I'm abusing you, you probably don't know. Because it's not in your heart. You have no understanding of what I'm saying. Let us guard our hearts. What you put in is what will eventually come out. For some of us, it's only when we are under stress and pressure that what is in our hearts starts to come out. When everything is fine, we think everything is fine. Only when you are frustrated, you find yourself committing sin with your tongue. It's only because it's already in your heart. As Christians, what we need to do is guard our hearts. If you are not a Christian and you are here this morning, dealing with the sin of the tongue, as we have said, it begins from your heart. You need a change of heart. For Christians, you need to guard your heart. For non-Christians, you need a change of heart. And I know our society, and when I mean our society, the old world, the human society believes that a human being is typically a good person. But the Bible says a human being fundamentally has a very evil heart. The heart of man is wicked. It's not good, as somebody may tell you. Only Jesus can change the heart of man. Only Jesus can change the heart of man. The change of our heart is a miracle in the first place. And so if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, the way to deal with the sins of the tongue is to surrender your life to Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 16:17, if you come to him, he will give you a new tongue. And God has saved people from all these sins, some of which we have listed today, and has given them a new language. People who used to be critical are no longer critical. Those who used to slander and mock other people no longer do that because God has given them a change of heart. As a matter of fact, people enjoy slander. People enjoy mocking other people. Some people enjoy lying. And needless to say that people enjoy gossip. But when God changes your heart, you cannot enjoy sin. That's a sign of being in Christ. You cannot enjoy sin. Paul says, can we go on sinning and say the grace of God shall abound? No. A Christian cannot enjoy sinning. So this morning, let us remember that the sins of the tongue are not acceptable to God, and they are serious. Before we close, I would like to read Revelation chapter 21. And I'll read verse 8. If you are using the church Bible, it's on page 1251, 1251. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, and it reads, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. All liars. Slander is a form of lying. It's a form of a lie. to slander people, to spread rumors. God is not separating those who commit sins of the tongue with every other sin. He's saying it's just they are all in one pot as far as God is concerned. So what we need to do this morning is to repent of our sins. Let us forsake those sins. Let us turn away from this sin. Let us guard our hearts. If you are a Christian, let us be aware that these are sin. And when we are aware, let us be mindful of what we say with our mouth. Sometimes silence, they say, is golden. It's better for you to keep quiet than to set the body on fire. The Bible says our tongue is fire. It can set your body on fire, but remember the church is the body of Christ. You can also set the church of Christ on fire with your tongue. I pray the Lord will bless his word in our hearts. And just before we close, we are going to sing a song.